coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's
coming. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, December 24th, 2024. Merry Christmas! Keeping Christ in Christmas all year long as we continue a holiday special provided by the Moody Broadcasting Network. You heard part one yesterday when we covered some of the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Today we'll back up a little and learn some more about Elizabeth and the influence she may have had on Mary. We'll learn about the shepherds, Simeon and Anna, and the unique role they all had in God's plan of salvation for us all. The title of this Moody special is The Lesser Characters of Christmas, and I've broken it into three parts. It's a 55-minute program. We'll pick up where we left off yesterday.
I'm thinking, without Elizabeth, what kind of a beginning would Mary have had? I don't think it's good.
It was such an encouragement for her. Such an encouragement for her. To see that God is working not only through her, to receive the legitimacy she holds the Messiah inside by the fact that Elizabeth said, "Oh, you're so blessed." They were expecting the Messiah to come through a virgin birth. So everything, the joy that was between two girls, was a prophecy being fulfilled in front of their eyes and inside their stomach.
For me, I would say Elizabeth gave Mary three things, three gifts, if you want to call that. Number one was the confirmation. Yes, Elizabeth, what the Lord is doing, you know, Elizabeth said to Mary, what God is doing in your life, yes, let me confirm that that is what he's doing. Number two, she encouraged Mary to be comforted in that relationship and what God was doing. And then as a result of Mary meeting with Elizabeth, Mary had the confidence to go back into her world and deal with it. And hopefully it's a great model of how older believers can encourage younger believers, I think.
We don't think about these small items, but these people needed to carry a prophecy in them, sometimes to be mocked, sometimes to be who knows what by those who do not understand or believe, and faithfully and joyfully carry God's job. Wow, I wish we'll have a video of these meetings and situations.
From Moody Radio, you're listening to The Lesser Characters of Christmas. Among those lesser characters are the shepherds we hear about in the Luke account of the birth narrative. The job of a shepherd sounds quaint to 21st century folks? Not so. Naeem Khoury pastors First Baptist Church in Bethlehem, a literal stone's throw from where the biblical shepherds were working. Pastor Khoury describes job one.
First of all, to keep enemies away. Wolves that might attack their sheep and their flock. And then that's why they have to stay in alert. Stay awake almost all night to be able to watch over their sheep for protection.
It's a job not just anyone can do. Amer Nicola is educational manager at Nazareth Village.
Now, being a shepherd, it means that you need to be away from the community for a long time and to be strong enough to go all this time. And sometimes in the heat, and you don't have enough water, but also to be able to protect your sheep from animals that can come and attack your sheep. So you need to be strong enough not to be afraid, but to attack them also.
If you travel today to the outskirts of Bethlehem, you'll still find shepherds caring for their sheep. But as producer John Gager learned, abandon any notion of flat green meadows. The following conversation with an authentic shepherd was recorded on a rocky, steep slope where safe footing was as sparse as vegetation. And because shepherds might speak any one of dozens of dialects, a translator helps us understand what tending sheep is really like.
How difficult is it to keep track of the sheep? Do they wander a lot or do they stay with you?
انه الخرفان بتروح لحالها هيك ولا انت بتقول لها ستوب انت بتقول لها وقف
بتروح بناديها بترجع
The sheep is going, as he's told him, stop, no go, as stop. He's calling him.
Do they stop or do they sometimes keep going?
No, all the time he stop, he said.
And so stop. They're generally obedient. Are sheep intelligent, smart, or are they kind of stupid, dumb?
ولا stupid يعني مجانين ما بفهموش ولا
لا لا بيفهم.
Oh no, it's not stupid. He said it's not stupid.
What is the most difficult or hard thing about being a shepherd?
بدهن قوة تعب تعب
بدك تشتغل المطعميهم وتشقيهم وتطلع معهم
he said stop. No problem with the chop. It's not a problem. It's very happy with him.
Many of us have been told that shepherds are less intelligent, less desirable as people. Not so, says Menno Kalischer.
Not everyone is able to go to the university economically. But the fact that a person is a shepherd doesn't mean that he has no brains. And one thing for sure, if you are a shepherd, you may be a thinker. You have a lot of time to think. Guess what? Little King David was a shepherd. Do you think that he was stupid? He was not.
Another quiet night, under a quiet sky, out here in quiet fields of Bethlehem. How much quiet can a man take?
You are young, Harvey, but you will learn.
I will learn. Learn what, Nathan? To be quiet so we can sit around and endure more quiet?
All right. No one is holding the sacrificial knife to your neck, Harvey. It's noise you seek. Adventure? Well, Jerusalem is only a two-hour walk. Here, don't forget your water.
It's not that. I wonder, that's all.
Wonder what, Avi?
Well, I wonder what's the point of all this labor. Others sleep in comfort while we're out here freezing in the night air. Everybody else is with their family and we're alone. Is this worth it, Natan? Don't you ever wonder, Yitzhak?
Yep, Avi, come here. Now take a look. A look at the flock out there. What do you see underneath the blanket of stars?
I see matted, dirty, smelly sheep. Nothing more.
You know what I see?
No, I have no idea.
I see the golden glow of the temple in Jerusalem. Its columns stretching toward the sky. You see, I see the rivers of the faithful making their way up Mount Moriah. I see the bronze laver and white-robed priests. I hear the bleating of sheep. And many of them are ours. Their shed blood paints the very picture of atonement, as it says in Leviticus. The blood makes atonement by means of the life.
Avi, this is not about quiet nights or personal comfort. It's about making ready the temple sacrifice.
And part of that sacrifice begins here, in solitude and quiet.
God is here. Here? In this unremarkable place. We are servants of the servants of Yahweh himself.
Be praised.
What's that noise?
Where is it coming from?
The bright light up there!
We're doomed! We're doomed!
No!
For men accustomed to living outdoors, facing wolves and lions, the vision that appeared in the heavens must have truly been disturbing, given their reaction of terror. Once again, Naeem Khoury.
Their fear concerning what they've seen from the lightning and the angels and all of that, they didn't know what they were expecting, why this took place. It's something strange happened to them, I think, that night especially. They didn't know what's going on till later on they found out that Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem.
Nazar Tuma is pastor of the Church of the Nazarene in Nazareth. His take on the shepherds knocking knees?
They should be afraid, you know. Angels don't appear every day, and I believe their presence have some kind of power in it that causes you to tremble It's the presence of God, you know. The angels are just, they are his serving spirits, you know, of God that get out and do his will.
And what is it those shepherds saw gazing into the sky?
The great light could include many angels in that scene, but because we don't know the number, but we can assume it was a choir, a beautiful choir singing.
It's just possible that the shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks, that special night were special shepherds. Roy Schwartz.
I believe those shepherds were Levitical shepherds who were guarding the sheep that were going to be used for the sacrificial system of the sacrificial offerings in the temple. And so that light was all over the place in Beit Lechem, the house of bread where the bread of life was going to be born. And it probably, you know, shined in great brilliance.
As for God's choice of shepherds being the first to hear the birth announcement, Nader Abamsha suggests there is a practical wisdom in God's choice. Nader serves as director of the YMCA Rehabilitation Program in Bethlehem.
Shepherds are the people who are moving around, meeting people and spreading the news, and they are the best people who can say this happened. And they are meeting together, they are, exchanging of their animals. So I believe it's, from practical point of view, it's a very practical, very wise idea to send a message to those people who are moving around and talking to everybody. And they are not just sitting in that exact town or village, because shepherds usually move.
For Menno Kalischer, there's a literary irony, even a play on words, in the biblical accounts of the shepherds.
Well, shepherds came to see the real shepherd. That's how I would see that, really. And they may consider to be simple people by the rest of the nation. That could be right. But here, simple have seen the light. And you see it all through the gospel. The blind have seen the Lord. The unworthy accepted God. The bottom line is that God does not need a professor in order to do his job. All the rest, the Spirit of the Lord will do.
From Moody Radio, you're listening to The Lesser Characters of Christmas. Among those lesser characters, Simeon and Anna. Both elderly, both familiar faces at the temple complex.
Simeon and Anna are two that appear in the Gospel of Luke after the narrative of the birth of Jesus, when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus up to the temple so that he can be dedicated.
Dr. Paul Wright is president of Jerusalem University and helps us understand a bit more about the scene.
I would imagine that someone like an Anna or a Simeon, who spend a lot of time in the temple, getting along in life, the further we get in life, the more reflective we become, both in terms of what have I done, what legacy am I going to leave, am I going to see something happen before I die that is going to allow me to die in peace and hope that life can be better for those coming after me. We tend to think about these things. People who are, 20 tend not to, they tend to do it. We tend to think about it, you might say. And Anna and Simeon, I think, are people like this.
Menno Kalischer.
Well, you take Simeon and this elderly lady, Anna, Chana in Hebrew, yes? There is no Anna in Hebrew. Chana. And the idea is God's grace. Can you believe his name is God heard? Her name is God's grace. God show his mercy and grace. And the God who give mercy, the God who hears, brought these people into the temple.
Dr. Charlie Dyer underscores that the fact that both Simeon and Anna were advanced in years was no accident. And to a culture, any culture, that worships youth and dismisses the elderly, the Christmas story offers a return to reverence.
Anna herself was married for a while and then a widow for a long time. And so Luke's paying special attention to these elderly, the ones who were wise, godly, and certainly that came with the age and walking with the Lord over a long period of time, as the young couple come in with the new baby. So we have the new birth and this young Messiah who's still just a child. And you have the elderly recognizing it and responding in a way that just is pointing everybody around him. That's the one. He's the Messiah. The elderly are pointing the way to the young one and saying, he's the one, follow him.
So Simeon and Anna are in the temple. But what might the scene have been like as they met there day after day? A Mayor Nicola of Nazareth Village.
It's a big, huge area that have some rooms and halls that you can meet people, you can worship God, you can pray. So in addition, you can meet many, many people that come, especially if you're a rabbi or a prophet, as the Bible says about Hannah. So they can come to consult them and to pray and to ask their recommendations about many, many things.
With very little imagination, you can see the temple columns rising, hear the sounds of sacrificial doves and lambs as the crowds gather in great number. Meanwhile, priests have their eyes on an old man in the corner.
Look, the old one. He's there again.
And where's the surprise? My family has served here some 20 years, and he's never failed to show up a single day. Simeon.
That's the old man?
That's him.
And Simeon's never missed a single day of prayer? Not even one.
Think of it. 2 decades in this corner of the temple complex. And Simeon never misses.
So, what's he praying about? He looks determined.
Go walk over to his corner for yourself. Simeon won't notice or care.
Great God, most mighty one, exalted one, I beseech you, show us the consolation of Israel. Show us the anointed one. Let my eyes rest on him, as you have promised, O Lord. Show us the light who comes.
Come, Mary. Let's head over to that corner.
Sovereign Lord, what is this? Who is it comes this way?
Joseph? Look at that old man. He acts like he's expecting us.
Is it you? Are you finally come?
Sir, I'm Joseph of Nazareth.
Sir.
This is Mary, my wife, and the baby is...
No, sir, you have come. Say no more. I know who he is. The little one in your wife's arms. Sir, he is... the promised one, the anointed one. May I please, allow me to hold him, if we... Oh, Lord, you are releasing your bond servant to depart in peace. According to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Oh, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.
If you just joined us, you're listening to The Lesser Characters of Christmas. But the story of Simeon and Anna, or Hannah, was never intended to be merely parenthetical. We might see them as lesser characters, but God does not. Again, Menno Kelischer.
This is the great thing, that people don't pay attention to that. Usually it's the sub-story, that people look at it as if it's the yellow pages. You know, just flip quick. Who needs to remember numbers, you know? This is part of the picture. This is part of the colors. And if you take them out, it's as if to take the yellow away from the flower. Every yellow, every green, every pink, every something, it's part of the full picture God created.
But seeing that picture, understanding that picture, required a significant component of faith.
And here is Simeon. Shimon says, I'm waiting to see the salvation of God. And did you ever think about it? When you speak about salvation, you think about something big like, who knows, like a Schwarzenegger, with a big muscle to move all the enemies. And here they brought you the Redeemer. in a diaper. I wonder, listen, to see a baby that everyone holds and in danger that you will not slip your fingers and fall, and to look at him as a redeemer of the world? God in a diaper?
With the twin perspectives of time and history, the shocking faith of Simeon and Hannah comes across as, well, less shocking. But we must not take their confidence in God for granted.
You need a lot of faith to be serious and to come and say, I'm ready to die in this moment. I've seen the salvation of God. And what did you see? You didn't see the cross. You didn't see anything. You didn't see any miracle. What did you see? God in a diaper?
If faith was the key, then Hannah, or Anna, found the door to her own comprehension wide open. Here again is Dr. Paul Wright.
We'll save Dr. Paul Wright's comments for tomorrow, where we'll learn some more about Simeon and Anna and the wise men. Isn't this a creative production by the Moody Broadcasting Network? We appreciate our friends there in Chicago and the great work they're doing to keep Christ in Christmas and to help us better understand some of the lesser characters of Christmas. What a great season we're all enjoying, huh? Hopefully your schedules are slowing down some and you can drink in some of our programming and enjoy Christmas music. By the way, give us some feedback, write us. And it's a great time to get that tax-deductible gift in the mail if you need it for your taxes. So if you'd like to help us out, we're 100% listener-supported. Your gift goes a long way towards helping us broadcast the good news message of Jesus 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Address your envelope to Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Or WLUJ 600 West Mason Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow's edition of The Lesser Characters of Christmas, once broadcast, will all be archived at greatnewsradio.org. Stop by and check out our website. Also, WLUJ.org, WLUJ.org. Also, there is a PayPal account there if you want to give online. Or if you want to call in a donation for that matter, we accept credit cards. Dial 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.